Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. We'll be joined later this hour by Doug Bell, golf analyst for PGA Tour Radio, CBS Sports HQ. He is at the Masters in Augusta, so he's coming up at 7:40. Dylan Strome from the Caps at 8:45. And Ted Leonsis, CEO of Monumental Sports, he will join the show coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. So we wanted to get into the Commanders. They're going to be busy early next week. I'm sure they're busy every day leading up to the NFL draft, but they are hosting top 30 visits with both Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Now it's getting serious. Now you've got the guys who are the odds-on favorites to be the number two pick in both Daniels and May coming in for not just visits, overnight extensive visits with the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Now it's ratcheting up. I did notice that my wild card pick at number two, J.J. McCarthy, I haven't seen a scheduled visit for him.
Oh, yeah.
Alongside these other two prospects.
Now, didn't they already have Penix here? I feel like these scheduled visits, you can make what you want out of them, right? You can read into them. Mm-hmm. Or there are other times where we've heard where guys get drafted when they never even talk to them.
Right.
Which, like, their smokescreen is... they pretend they're not interested. They don't bring them in. Well, they don't talk to them. And then they draft them.
I think that might happen with guys who are further down the draft board. I don't think you would do that with the number two.
Oh, it's happened with high picks.
Maybe. I can't think of any where you're going to spend the number two overall pick and you're not going to have that guy in your building. Like, I'm sure maybe it has happened. But if I'm an owner and or a GM, I'm going to want to bring that guy in. Have him sit down across from me in both the meeting room. I want to see how he comports himself out at a nice restaurant. Hmm. I want to see how he interacts with the public. I want to see all of that. Like, if I'm about to pour millions of dollars into this pick, which is what they're going to do, tens of millions of dollars, mm-hmm. potentially more down the road, like, I need to look that guy in the eye. I can't just be like, okay, I've seen him at the combine from afar, and I've watched all of his college film. No. That might happen with the fifth or sixth round pick, not with the number two overall pick. I got to have that guy in my building. I don't care who knows that I'm talking or flirting with this guy, because we already know Caleb Williams is going number one. Mm-hmm. That's happening. So what do I care if the stupid Patriots or the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders, other teams with quarterback interest, what do I care if May and Daniels are in my building? You don't have any impact.
I'm not saying this is
going to
happen. But what if they love J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah. Okay.
Adam Peters has known since before this process, mm-hmm. they're going to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
He buys into what Coach Harbaugh said, that the best quarterback in the draft, it's not Caleb Williams, yeah. it's not Jaden Daniels, it's J.J. McCarthy. So their smokescreen is they just don't even ask him for an interview because they know they've done their due diligence. They know he knows football. Mm-hmm. He's been coached by a former quarterback in the league. He knows everything that needs to be, and they know his personality.
Still, you would still be relying on, at that point, like Jim Harbaugh,
yeah,
propaganda, like secondhand. Like, That's fine.
Okay, but they're doing, they've done their due diligence. They know the type of person he is. They feel confident in that. Mm-hmm. So they bring in the other guys. It's the smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen.
Right.
They bring in the other guys to make all the other teams think that they're going to draft Drake May.
Right.
Or they're going to draft Jaden Daniels. But they're cool with trading back.
Mm-hmm. So they're just
to get J.J. McCarthy.
Up these other two guys.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, I could see.
I don't think you have to bring in a guy. And I don't think bringing in the guy necessarily means anything. Didn't they already bring in Penix?
I'd have to see if he's actually made an in-person visit.
Didn't Penix visit Redskins?
I know he visited.
I can't remember.
I know he visited with the Giants. I don't know if he came for an in-person visit with the Commanders.
I may
not.
Be wrong, but I thought maybe he visited the Commanders. I don't know. I don't read that much into it. I do think they know who they're taking already.
I do too.
And I don't think there's very much it can change. Like when you say they want to see how the guy's going to comport themselves at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what's going to change at a dinner?
I don't think anything's necessarily going to change. I just think that they would like to experience it for themselves.
Yeah, they just want to get to know the kid.
Instead of just hearing Harbaugh talk about it or hearing, you know, Brian Kelly talk about what a great guy Jaden Daniels is, I want to talk to him myself. I want to be around this person before I make a significant financial commitment.
I understand that, but what is going to change? When you said they want to see how he comports himself. So let's say let's say Jaden Daniels comes to that dinner and has great manners, knows how to order his meal.
Right.
And then Drake May, on the other hand, he comes in disheveled, not dressed appropriately.
Right.
Doesn't know how to order. He's never ordered fish or whatever is available.
Yeah, he's like Sam Howell, only orders chicken tendies.
All right, but you believe Drake May, he's better on the board. He's a better player and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you going to draft Jaden Daniels because he dressed more appropriately and ordered better?
It's going to go into my equation. It's going to be lesser, obviously, than his football talent and his skill, but it's all going to be part of the bigger equation and calculation when you decide to pick this guy at number
Look,
two.
It's we're overthinking this. All right, we're overthinking this. They just want to get to know the kid that they possibly will draft.
Right,
if you were a CEO of a company and you were looking to hire, a VP of sales, well, you're going to go out and meet the guy. You know, you want to meet who you're going
right.
to who's going to you're going to hire to run your sales department. They're just going to try and meet these kids. It's fine. It's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. I don't think they're grading how they look in the restaurant or what they order or how they act. They just want to meet the kid.
You know what? Like, just say
they just want to sit down and talk football with them. Talk life.
What if Drake May comes in and sits down and is rude to, like, the busboy and the waiter and the maitre d'? Now, I'm not saying all signs point that he's like a nice kid.
He's not yet. Yeah, he's not going
to
be.
What if he's a douche to, like, the restaurant staff and he's like, I'm better than these people. I'm going to be the number two pick in the draft. He's full of himself. That could be a major turnoff. Like the execs could be like,
sure.
I mean, this guy a leader of men? Like
right.
that's more the point of having them in, seeing how they work, seeing how they think, seeing how they interact with people in the building, outside the building.
You know what?
I think there's a lot to it.
I would have the waiter accidentally spill his drink on him and see how he reacts.
Okay. You're taking it a step further, but I kind of like it.
you think it's about how they behave at dinner and stuff?
That's what Cake said.
I think it's
they're breaking down film.
I know, that I understand.
That is what they want them in the
thing,
girl.
Too. I'm just saying.
Well, that is the most important part, and see if they can handle whatever they're throwing at them, and if they can't process it fast enough.
Well, they're not breaking down film at the dinner table. They're just getting to know the kid.
No, the dinner is after they
correct. They go
facility
in.
Visit.
He comes in to Ashburn.
Am I too obsessed by the dinner?
Yes.
Focused on.
Yes, you're overthinking.
You know, I'm kind of with you, Cakes.
Yeah.
I think it's very telling how a person acts.
Of course it's telling.
Yes.
Now, is it what they do on the whiteboard telling too? Like, can you diagram a defense? Can you get the play out before the play clock winds down? All that's important.
It's a vibes check.
Right.
He'll be fine. Both kids will be fine.
I'm sure.
And I think I agree with JP.
Knock it out of the park.
I don't know if they're still at coin flip on who they're going to draft. I think they know who they're going to draft.
You know,
I think they've known for weeks.
Maybe.
They should ask him to split the bill, see how he reacts.
Yeah. I think the
credit card roulette.
I think the pro day and what they're going to have next week, I guess it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is for these two prospects, it's going to fit into confirmation bias. You know what I mean? Like, they knew from the film that they either liked Drake May or Jaden Daniels better. And it'd be very hard to change their opinion based on a pro day. I mean, somebody tweeted us, I can't confirm this or not, that Adam Peters had visited one of the prospects three times while he was in San Francisco.
Right.
These guys have formed their opinions, and they've got scouts. They've got all these opinions coming at them.
By the way, I see, Jason, here's one advantage to you not being on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I need to get away from the guys who have bought the blue check marks, who try to make their site like look official, and they've got all these breaking rumors about NFL draft prospects.
Oh, yeah. The aggregators.
Yeah,
aggregators. Give me an example.
They're, like ML football.
Like what JP is talking about. He's talking about like breaking news. Adam Peters visited Drake May three times while he was with the San Francisco 49ers. Went to practices at Chapel Hill. And I'm kind of like, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But there's all of these on Twitter. Like you have to navigate through these minefields.
It's
of these weird reports that are coming out of nowhere.
It's quote unquote journalists, but they don't have any kind of integrity that Adam Schefter or Albert Breer have.
Right.
And Rappaport.
Absolutely.
Well, the latest in terms of who they're going to draft.
Yes.
I mentioned this yesterday. Adam Schefter, who has a podcast, doubled down on Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Says all signs are that they're going to draft Jaden Daniels. I think that was on the latest Adam Schefter podcast. Mm-hmm. And Albert Breer has also chimed in that they're going to draft Jaden Daniels.
All right.
Could be all smoke.
Doesn't Schefter hedge that though and says this is just a guess?
I think he hedges it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think Schefter really knows. They're just kind of asking for his opinion.
Right.
And he's saying, it's maybe looking like Jaden, but I'm just guessing here. He definitely says he hedges it.
You know what? That's great. This staff seems like they're super buttoned up. They're not. There's not a bunch of leaks from the front office like in previous ownership regimes, which is a welcome change for Commanders fans. I like that they're not telling anybody what their plans are and who they're considering and who they're thinking of picking. And this is going to be the guy. This is the guy we're leaning towards. It's better this way. Just keep it close to the vest until draft night.
I think that they are spending most of their time working on the other prospects now. I think they are putting the bow on a present with these visits, and they're kind of doing their due diligence, but they kind of know. Like, they probably knew they were going to either draft Jaden Daniels or Drake May a month ago.
Yeah.
All right. So now the bulk of their time is, well, what are we going to do with 36? What are we going to do with 40? And they'll do their thing on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but they're doing their work on the rest of that draft, which is not as important. I will say, I do think the quarterback is by far the most important, because you could hit on every other pick. If they whiff on the quarterback, this regime won't last long.
It's the demise, yeah. You're right.
Like, they could get a great receiver at 36, get an unbelievable
left tackle. If this quarterback turns
40.
Into the next Zach Wilson, this coaching staff and probably Peters out in 3 or 4 years.
By the way, rumors are running rampant, obviously, at this time of year. Drabby, did you see the rumor that the Commanders have, I'm putting this in air quotes, possible interest in acquiring the number 16 overall pick in the first round, moving back into the first round and drafting an offensive tackle there at 16.
Well, it's definitely available. I would almost be willing to put my 401k on the line that the Seahawks trade back.
Hold on, your entire 401k?
I'm almost willing.
Your whole
nut? All
right, let's do it. Put it on the line.
Oh, I would love for you to have that.
What's in your 401k? Give me the balance.
It's swole.
Hey, write it down.
Not enough.
It was. Are you maxing swole. That blicky out?
Yeah.
Write it down. I want to see.
Yeah.
See if you'd put it up.
If you saw him, you'd have a heart attack.
In which way? A good way or a bad way?
You'd jump off the building.
Right, right. I mean, you would say it's good. It's great for him.
Oh.
But where you are in your life, you wouldn't think it's that great for you.
Well, I'm just saying it's probably a lot of money.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And I don't think he's going to bet it all.
No.
They drop back
is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, that's
look for that. Yep. Maybe that's a dance partner.
Look, this Washington's got 6 picks in the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They got some maneuverability.
That's ammunition.
They really do.
Yep.
And obviously, at 2, you know who they're going to go for, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But after that, man, it can do all kinds of stuff.
Coming up later this hour, in just about 25 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Bell, golf analyst for PGA Tour Radio and CBS Sports HQ. We'll talk Masters with him coming up at 7:40. Don't forget.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ed Leonsis joins us at 9 a.m. this morning. You don't want to miss that. So that's coming up in just about an hour and a half.
So Cakes told me he's not in the running business anymore for the most part. You run occasionally.
I've fallen off the running wagon.
But back in the day, you ran a marathon. And so I estimated how fast he runs a mile. And he was like, no, slower than that.
Yeah, definitely slower.
And the reason I bring this up is my daughter had her first track meet last night. And it is a fun event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've told you this before. If you're a parent and your kid is choosing sports.
Right.
If the sport has meat attached to it.
Yeah.
I would recommend moving them to other sports because anything with meat lasts super long.
Sure. Lasts forever,
if they
right?
play yep. basketball, there's a game.
Yeah.
It's from 5 till 6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it's from 6 to 7 or whatever. It's an hour. You might have to get there a half hour before. If it's a meet,
team sports last a long time too. Tournaments.
Yeah.
For a weekend. But an individual game.
Swim meets or dive meets, they are interminable.
Yeah, I'm
they
sure.
last forever.
I'm sure.
So swim meets, wrestling meets, and track meets, they're gonna take hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there from 5:20 until 8:15.
Yeah.
And my kid did great. This is what I wanted to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
You're there, so you see the other events, and there was an 800, which is 2 laps. That is half of a mile.
Yep.
Okay, this is what I asked Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, I think it was a 10-year-old girl. She was, so my daughter's 7. So it was that they called her class the Bantams, whatever mm-hmm. the next group of kids, different ages. I would guess 10. Maybe she was 11,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to say 10 years old. I watched her run an 800 in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. That is a 5-minute mile pace.
Yeah.
Now, you're not completing the mile. You're doing a half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And what I threw out to Cakes is, could you beat the 10-year-old girl?
No way. Impossible.
She was flying, obviously.
She would smoke me.
She was flying
and
around the track.
Wouldn't even be close.
And it's a 10-year-old girl.
It doesn't matter.
But she's fast.
She's young and spry, and I'm old, and I have a banged-up calf, and I'm going to pull up lame after the first lap.
There might be younger girls that would beat them.
Because I'm pushing it into the red to try to beat that 10-year-old girl, and she's going to pwn me. I don't think it'd be close. For me, personally.
I might be botching the time because that does seem absurdly low.
That seems like really...
Maybe it was 2:45, but I'm telling you, it was really fast.
She was moving.
I mean, my daughter won her, whatever you call it, her heat.
Yeah.
And she finished in a very good time, which was 3:45,
mm-hmm.
which is a sub-8-minute mile. Now, again, it's for a half a mile.
Yeah.
And then the next class up... This girl, and you could tell, like, she looked like a runner.
Mm-hmm.
She had that Chris Farley-like build.
Yeah.
Lean.
Mm-hmm.
And she, remember when you would watch Michael Johnson in the Olympics?
Sure.
Mm.
And the way he ran kind of upright.
Yeah.
But he's sprinting, but it doesn't even really necessarily look like he's sprinting because he's doing it for a full lap.
Yeah.
She had that type of run where it didn't look like she was going
on. Surprise you and the audience, and probably Jason too. This temple is used to be designed for long slogs, chopping the wood, like no sprinting.
Yeah,
this
but back when you did the marathon,
sprinter's body.
I know both you and I finished mm-hmm. around 8 minutes. We were over, but around 8-minute mile pace.
Yeah.
Now we were younger.
Definitely younger.
I mean, I think I was 39. You might have been 40.
I was 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it just was one of those things where I watched it and I was curious. And my son was doing the same thing because he did track.
Right.
He wanted to come out to watch his sister, but I think he kind of came out because he used to do track and he kind of knew his times. And we watched this girl like, oh my God.
Well, she'll probably be a track star in high school.
If we had a junkies challenge,
okay,
all of us.
All right.
To do a 400. I maybe brought this up before.
Okay,
how fast?
One lap.
One lap.
No
one
idea.
One lap, so I'm pushing
it
into the red.
It would be very slow for me.
You're pushing into the red. Could you beat a minute?
A minute? No.
No.
No chance. I don't think there's any scenario
now at 54,
where I would beat a minute.
No chance.
I mean, I don't even know if I'd do it in a minute and a half. That's a big ask.
Dude, I'm telling you, I saw...
I'm pretty sure...
8-year-olds doing it under a minute and a half.
I am pretty sure, unless I'm in some sort of life or death, fight or flight scenario, my sprinting days are officially over.
Right.
Like, I mean, I play tennis and pickleball, like...
Yeah,
you know,
but you're not sprinting.
But that's not sprinting. That's controlled little bursts. Like for my sprinting days are officially.
By the way,
done.
It was hot yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was hot in my house, but I couldn't bring myself to put the air conditioner on.
Why?
In April.
What does it matter?
You
just have a mental block.
Yeah, it's a mental block. April, I can't put it on.
You have a thermostat.
It was 77 degrees upstairs in my house last night.
That's awful.
I know. It was hot last night.
Did you even sleep with a blanket?
Yeah, kind of half on.
77?
Half on, half off. I had ceiling fan, box fan, and oscillating fan going.
You had three fans going?
Yep.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yep, three fans.
We had people over for Easter a couple weekends ago.
It's kind of warm that day, too.
It was warm. But
it was in the 60s. It wasn't in the 70s.
I'm very sensitive to... I know when it's too hot in the house. I can just tell.
You can just feel it.
I have an innate sense for it.
Yeah.
So I turned to my wife and I said, you need to go hook up the thermostat.
AC?
I let her do the thermostat. It just
you can't do the thermostat.
No, I can, but she's better at it than I am. I just get tilted by it.
All you down.
Is, she's better at it. She's just better. Okay. And I trust her more with it. So I was like, babe, you got to go hook up the thermostat. Because we can't be my in-law's house where I can no longer wear a long sleeve shirt there. It doesn't matter what time of the year. It could be 10 degrees outside. I just know I'm not wearing any sort of long sleeve shirt into their house because
they keep it hot.
It's always
hot. So hot.
Yeah.
It's all the time.
You would have felt like that in my house.
It's oppressive. It is Matt Valdez's side studio level hot. I don't know how he functions in that studio where we cut commercials post show. I walk in there and I just want to strip down to my underwear.
If EB wanted to go hit the sauna, he could go to my side.
It's always so hot. I don't know why that can't.
The vent's broken or something.
It always
has ventilation problems.
It can't be good for the antiquated audio equipment in there. Just getting pushed to the red all the time.
Not to mention it's very tiny, and there's a billion computers running tiny room.
I told Amy, I said, we can't have our house become your parents' house.
Yeah, turn the AC on.
Always.
Did you have the AC on yesterday?
100%.
Did you?
I keep it in a range, so it's not going to go over 70.
Right. So it was definitely on.
Definitely
yours
on.
Yours was definitely on. Valdez, did you have your AC on yesterday or last night?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I turned the corner a couple days ago, and I saw the thermostat said 74 degrees inside the house. I said, this will not stand.
Yeah.
Amy, I need you to hook up the thermostat.
Sometimes I'll have the range, though. Jason, I'll tweak it where it'll say 66 to 74.
Yeah.
So it won't drop below 66 like when it's cold, the heater turns on, and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
But if it's hot, I'm going to drop it down. But I'm curious. You are the king of thermostat and thermostat talk. When you go to a hotel, so you're not paying the bill.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying your hotel bill, but you're not paying the bill for the electricity or gas, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your ideal temperature?
Well, what time of the year is it?
Should it matter?
Yeah.
You're inside a hotel.
Yeah.
Are you going to bed?
Stop.
Well, wait a minute.
It shouldn't matter, right?
If it's hot outside, I'm going to turn it down to 69, 68. If it's warm outside.
JP. Here's the answer.
I'll put it at 70, 71. If it's cold outside, I'm putting it at 72.
Whenever I check into my room at MGM National Harbor for the monthly Cakes Classic, it doesn't matter what month it is.
Of course it
should
matter.
It could be January.
Well, hold on.
It could be March.
I'm not going to put it at 67 if it's 10 degrees outside. That
but
doesn't make any sense.
But if it's your indoor temperature and you want to feel comfortable when you go to bed.
I just told you.
JP, the first thing I do, I come in and I put my bag on the bed, and then I walk to the thermostat and I press the down button because it's always 72 degrees.
Yeah.
I go beep, 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 67 degrees. So that when I come back later, after I bust out of the tournament, like I'm a bubble boy and I bust, and I come back at 1 in the morning, I want it to feel like the refrigerated section at your local grocery store.
So that's why you and I are different.
That I crawl in. I'm
close to you.
My teeth are chattering.
I think I'm a 68
guy. I love that. You're 68 guy?
Yeah.
I've gone as low as, it doesn't go lower than 66. I've knocked it down to 66. I basically see my breath when I come back into my room. And it's delicious.
But you would have hated in my house last night. Because 77, that's warm. That is really warm.
What time did you go to bed again?
74, 75 downstairs, 77 upstairs.
What time did you lay down in your bed to watch TV or whatever you do?
Probably game started at 7, so probably 7:10, 7:15.
Can you just...
Sat in my bed on my phone with my dog right there. My wife was watching Netflix next to me, and I was watching the game.
Is it possible for you to stop being such... a miser.
No, it's not. It's in my blood.
Just knock that temp down to like 72 degrees.
It's in my blood.
A nice livable temperature.
So I saw Drab wanted to bring up something.
It's going to be a little cooler today, so okay. It won't be as bad upstairs. But you would have left the house.
I would have. Yeah, right.
You would've.
While we were on break, we have a bunch of TVs out here, and one of them was on Fox 5, and they were doing the story that we wanted to get into.
Yeah.
That Lunchables may be banned from school lunch. Now, I don't think we grew up with Lunchables.
Definitely not. Lunchables, like when my kids were young, they were new on the scene.
Right.
Like, it was like a godsend. For little kids, you're like, oh, they've got like little kid portions of cheese, crackers, lunch meat, might be a dessert mixed in. Like, if you're a busy parent, it's an easy thing to give your kids and they like it. Problem is, loaded with sodium. And apparently,
You love salt, guy.
I love salt. I love it so much. Also, apparently, high levels of lead, and I guess this is another element, cadmium. I don't know anything about cadmium. I know more about Cadbury cream eggs than I know about cadmium. But I'm guessing you don't want your kids eating that. So that, I guess there's a big move on to, I guess Lunchables has like a version that they are making as part of like a school lunch program. And now people are like, well, it's got outrageous amounts of sodium and lead. And now it's all I'm going to think about whenever EB goes and buys a Lunchable and brings it in here and eats it.
I'm not one that consumes Lunchables, but I have bought them for my kids, of course, like you said.
Of course you have, at some point.
The one I'm a fan of is the nachos.
Well, probably Drab T-shirts.
They're like little nachos,
too.
Little cheese.
Yeah.
And then they usually throw in an Oreo cookie or something like
Drabby,
that.
Where do you weigh in on Lunchables nachos?
I've never had a nacho Lunchable. I've never had a pizza Lunchable.
The pizza Lunchable is trash. I can vouch for that. I've seen it and maybe taken a bite of one 15 years ago.
Yeah, but when you're younger, you don't realize
younger, yeah, you love it.
I used to do the one I would never eat. I would never even take a bite of is the chicken nugget one.
Okay. I think my kids have had those in
cold
the past.
Chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
You can heat them up.
Yeah, but the whole point is you take them up. They're on the run.
Right.
Yeah.
Like room temperature chicken nuggets. Open them and start eating them. They're not the greatest, but they're doable.
I've seen like the ham and cheese on crackers a lot.
Yeah, that's like the standard.
That's the slimiest ham I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's got like a sheen to it. You're
oh my God. You can't even put it in your mouth because it slips out of your fingers.
Yeah. Lunch meat is, I like lunch meat, but if you have it in your fridge for more than like 2 or 3 days.
Oh, it's terrible.
It starts to get dicey.
Yeah.
Like, you better eat it with quickness.
Yeah. Turkey, I always smell that turkey when I open it.
You better.
And
you better,
I usually don't eat it.
You better check it.
Yeah.
You better check it out. All right, when we come back, we will talk Masters. Hopefully, they're going to get underway at some point this morning, weather permitting.
Yep.
Doug Bell.
Is Doug Bell in Augusta?
I mean, we can ask him.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Not 100%. You know, that'll be the first question we ask
him
when he joins us next here on The Fan. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. That's 20 years by my bad math. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. Lots still to get to on an open line Thursday. Dylan Strome from the Washington Capitals coming up at 8:45, so that's in just about an hour. And Ted Leonsis, CEO of Monumental Sports, he will join the show at 9. But right now we're joined by Doug Bell, golf analyst for PGA Tour Radio and CBS Sports HQ. He's kind enough to give us some time right before the Masters begins. Doug, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Great to be with you, as always. I was over at Augusta Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then now I come home and do it virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's modern technology. What can I tell you? And actually, it's not a bad thing. I love being over there the first 3 days, and then I love coming home because I get to watch, I mean, television. You can't beat
can't beat it
on TV.
Did you drive or fly from Augusta to your house?
I just drive. You know, it's about 4 hours,
oh, okay.
And it's just a straight shot I-20, and it's, for me, it's incredibly convenient. So I love it, guys. I grew up in the South, down in South Florida, but now I've been in Alabama, Birmingham for many, many years, and so this is the best week of the year for me. It really is, and I know a lot of people say that, but I really get fired up about Masters Week.
Oh, I mean, how can you not? It's just incredible. We had Denny McCarthy on the show on Tuesday. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
And he actually, I just texted him, asked him what was the weather delay update. It's a 2.5 hour delay.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the first tee times are now going to be around 10:30 or so. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would think realistically more like 11.
11, okay.
Yeah, and that means the last guys, you know, in the 2 o'clock range, they're not going to finish today.
Right.
And there'll be an overlap tomorrow, which is bad news for Tiger, by the way. So I'm just guessing more than likely they'll wrap up the second round on Saturday morning and then be back on track, because the weather this weekend is going to be incredible, like close to 80 degrees, sunny, just what you would want at the Masters. But yeah, this rain delay kind of messes things up for a couple of days, but they're going to finish on Sunday. And these guys, I mean, good gracious.
Yeah.
These guys are used to it.
Because they'll crank it all in and get up, you know, up to speed tomorrow. So the guys who were supposed to – what time was Tiger supposed to tee it? At 1:25 or 1:30 today?
Yeah, I think it was 1:28, yeah.
Okay.
And see, the problem with that is that it takes so long for Tiger to get ready.
Right.
I mean, upwards of 4 hours just to get his body and everything ready, and then he has to go through the warm-up, et cetera. And if he goes out today, and let's just say he plays 12 holes.
Right.
Then he's got a quick turnaround.
Yep.
Early tomorrow morning, and he has to do that whole process again. And then when he finishes round one, it's like, all right, you got 45 minutes. We're back out for round two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the doctor ordered.
That's going to hurt him. Yeah, it's going to hurt him.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Doug, what a good feel-good story that Gary Woodland hits a hole-in-one during the par three tournament just months after brain surgery to remove a brain tumor.
Yeah, listen, Gary Woodland, listen, I know all these guys. I've been walking with them for years. And Denny's a great guy. You know, I get to know them and their caddies and their families. And I've known Gary for years. And, he calls me, hey, bro. Mm-hmm. Every time I see him, hey, bro. And I just – I get misty-eyed every time I hear that story, what he went through. And we had no idea. And it kind of happened last year at the Masters when we first felt the effects of this tumor. And to think where he is now back at the Masters. And, to see that yesterday was phenomenal. His family was out there, and Tom Watson was playing with him, and he got all excited. So, yeah, guys, there's a lot of feel-good stories, but that's one that really hits home for me. I'm getting emotional just talking about it right now.
Yeah, it is. So Scheffler is your overall favorite at 4-1. That's like Tiger-esque back in the day. And and then there's a pretty big gap because Rory's 10-1. Rahm's 11-1, but Scheffler's played so well. I couldn't believe when I heard in his last 26 starts, Doug, he's got 17 top fives. How stupid is that?
It is. I mean, and we haven't had a gap, especially statistically, between the number one player and the rest of the field. And we're talking good players. I mean, Rory's number two in the world. Huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a gap like this since Tiger when he went back-to-back here 22 years ago. I mean, think about that, guys. It's been 2 decades since we've had a player. Now, I'm not saying Scotty Scheffler's Tiger, but he's playing at that level right now. And, he's the prohibitive favorite for good reason, obviously. I just wonder, guys, you know, he and his wife, Meredith, are expecting their first child. It could happen at any moment. And he's already said if she goes into labor, he's leaving, regardless of the situation. And I think maybe the field is hoping.
Right.
Maybe she goes into labor. And that likely is not going to happen. But I just wonder does that take some of the mental approach away? I mean, the concentration, he's thinking about what's happening back at home. I don't know. He hits guys when we're out here, he hits it so straight. I mean, it is amazing. And with an iron, it's just to watch this guy, he's at the top of his game. And the one thing that's very underrated, we talk about his putting, which has gotten better.
Yeah.
But the short game, guys, out of bunkers, from off the greens.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is auto.
He's sick.
He's autopilot. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just looking at top five money here, top five odds. So Scheffler's the only guy with a minus number in top five. He's minus 110. Rahm's at a plus 215. Kepka's almost 4-1. Spieth's 4.5-1. Hovland's 6-1. Is there a guy, Hideki's plus 325. He's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
And a lot of these other guys haven't. And then I don't really follow the LIV Tour as much as probably some other people. So I don't know how well Rahm and Koepka and guys like that have been playing. But is there a guy you really like in a top five number?
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny, Rahm, LIV doesn't keep statistics. So we don't know.
Right.
And, you know, they play three rounds. They're in shorts. They play resort courses. It's not set up like a PGA Tour. So, you know, Rahm is great. Haven't seen him. Don't know if he's playing well. Don't know if he's been practicing. So he's a hard guy to put money on, although history says that he loves this place, obviously, trying to go back-to-back. Hideki now Hideki's a guy to follow, guys, healthy. Won the Genesis. And when I interviewed him there, and he obviously uses an interpreter, but he emphasized, he goes, this is the first time I've been healthy in a year and a half. I'd forgotten last year. He really battled a back deal. So watch Hideki, who's playing really well. You mentioned that. The guy I really like, guys, and the odds are crazy, Brian Harman, 37 years old. He's playing right now. He's in that 2 or 3 year window where he's playing the best golf of his life. Won the Open Championship last July. He finished a shot behind Scheffler at the Players. Left-handed kid.
Yeah.
I say kid, 37 years old.
Yeah.
Grew up in Georgia. This is the most meaningful tournament for him. And look at his odds, guys. Last night when I was on HQ, I mean, he was upwards of like 75-1. And I thought, my goodness.
He's 9.5-1, top five, 9.5-1. So that's pretty good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, those guys, Hideki, Brian Harman, Sahith Sagala, another guy, top 10 last year, off the radar screen. Nobody's talking about him. And you get good odds with Sahith Sagala, too. So those are just some of the guys I'm keeping an eye on. Obviously, you got the usual suspects, right? Spieth, Rory, et cetera. And they all have their positives and their flaws, which makes it intriguing. But those guys I just mentioned are the ones that I'm following.
Doug, what about a few bucks on Xander Schauffele at plus 1,400? He's got three top 10s and four top 20s his last five starts at Augusta. So he hasn't won it, but like he's close. Did we lose Doug?
Doug, are you there?
Yeah. You dropped it for a second. Xander. X-Man, nobody has a better history than him in the last 6 years, other than the guys who've won. And so he's knocking on the door. He's a guy, seriously, I don't understand why he hasn't won more. Maybe gets tight, you know, like he did here at the Masters a few years ago. Remember hitting the water at 16 and had an opportunity. Whatever it is, I mean, I really believe Xander, once he wins one like that, I think others will follow in a short period of time. He's really, really talented. Sometimes I think he gets a little methodical out there, you know, in the pressure moments when I've been with him in the final round, he slows down. I mean, he's a very slow, deliberate guy. And I know that's how some guys deal with pressure, but he changes his routine. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. All I know is the great ones, whether they were playing on a Thursday or a Sunday, routine never changed. I mean, it was the same MO. That's a little different with Xander. But, yeah, you're right. If you look at – if it's like a horse race and you're looking at the racing form and you're looking at the chalk, how's he done? I mean, pretty impressive, his history at Augusta National.
So getting back to Tiger, to make the cut and miss the cut, he's basically the same number. He's minus 118 on both. But now with the weather – that development and the fact that he's going to have to go, you know, he's not going to get his first round done today, and then he'll have to play a bunch of holes tomorrow. Do you like Tiger to make or miss the cut?
Well, the fact
that's going to be tough for him. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think he's going to make the cut. Never missed a cut.
This would break the record, right?
Yeah, he'll have 24 in a row, passing Gary and Fred. You know, it's interesting. I was looking that up. You know, Jack Nicklaus made 37 cuts in his career at Augusta. I mean, think about that. And Tiger's about to get 24 in a row. Obviously, some injuries derailed him. But Jack's around a long time. He made 37 cuts. Pretty remarkable.
That's
but
sick.
I think Tiger, I do think he's going to make the cut, guys. And he looks, oh, my goodness. Every time I see him, this guy's, all he does is lift weights.
I know.
Mean, the lats, the shoulders, the arms. And obviously that compensates for the bad leg, the bad ankle.
I know, Doug, when I was watching him on the range yesterday, you know, he was hitting balls. He looks fine hitting the balls. But then when he's bending down to put the tee in the ground, it looks like he's struggling every single time.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch. Listen, he's the greatest, right? I mean, I'm a Nicklaus guy, but most people tell you in the modern era, I mean, nobody even comes close. And the players will tell you that. Rory will tell you that. Spieth will tell you that. But to see him now – man, when he walks out, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, and everybody's, all the eyes go to Tiger. But you're right, when he bends down, he can't practice the short game like he used to. Can't practice putting. That's why he's not going to win again.
Correct.
But I do think he has enough moxie and still skill to make the cut and play into the weekend. Whether he finishes all four rounds, that's another big story.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, we appreciate
you,
the time, as always. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the Masters from home in Roll Tideville.
Hey, thanks, guys. We got a new coach. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
Roll Tide.
Exactly.
Right. Bye-bye.
That's Doug Bell, golf analyst for PGA Tour Radio and CBS Sports HQ. You can give a follow on Twitter, at Doug Bell ESPN. Don't forget, coming up at 8:45, we'll be joined by Dylan Strome, and Ted Leonsis joins us at 9 a.m. here on The Junks.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.